This morning we've got two short readings. The first one is from Isaiah chapter 9 and the second one is from John chapter 1. So if you have a look at Isaiah chapter 9 and put your finger in John chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 9. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he made his glory, the glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. And then John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world.
Let's pray. We thank you, gracious God, that you have made yourself known. We thank you, Lord, we've just read about the Word made flesh. You have spoken to us by your Son. We thank you also for the written Word that we have, that you have given to us in the Scriptures. Teach us this morning, we pray, and help us to rejoice again in all that you have done. We pray in our Saviour's name. Amen. One of the things that tells us that Christmas is upon us is the increasing number of lights that go up around this time of the year. Why do we do that? Well, maybe it's an excuse just to add some cheer during the long, dark winter evenings, nights. It appears that the tradition of lights originally began with Christmas trees. The Protestant reformer Martin Luther is often credited with being the first to put candles on the Christmas tree after seeing twinkling stars above the forest during a nighttime stroll. Do that today and he'd have health and safety all over him. Not a good idea to put candles on the tree, but that's what people used to do. Light and darkness are key themes in the Christmas story. And indeed, actually, they're a key theme throughout the Bible. The world is a dark place. That's a reference to the evil around us, of ignorance, of suffering, of injustice, abuse of power, oppression, war, families ripped apart, unimaginable grief. Proverbs 4 verse 19 tells us that the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. And so all of these things can come under this description of darkness. We'll see that the theme of darkness and light comes out in a number of our Christmas carols and songs. And what I've described already tells us something of the world of that first Christmas, just as it was all those centuries earlier when Isaiah spoke this message to the people of his day. And yes, you're right. It's still a description that applies to the world today, a world that needs Jesus. The New Testament writer explains what living in the darkness means when he writes this in Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. There's some strong yet revealing words in those verses. Futility, darkened, ignorance. We're living a life without God, and what that brings is darkness. And Jesus, the Bible tells us, is the light that we need, that the world needs. We sing sometimes, here is love that conquered evil, Christ the firstborn from the grave. Death has failed to be found equal to the life of him who saves. In the valley of our darkness dawned his everlasting light. Perfect love in glorious radiance has repelled death's hellish night. And as we saw just a few minutes ago, John opens his gospel with these words about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Later on in John 8, verse 12, Jesus makes this remarkable statement. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, that's one of seven I am statements that Jesus makes, and they're recorded in John's gospel. So what did Jesus mean by saying that he is the light? Well, Jesus is the light because he comes from the Father to reveal the Father. He speaks for the Father. He is one with the Father. He is the light because he comes to defeat the darkness of sin. So let's now go back to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 2 particularly this morning. First of all, we're going to look at darkness revealed. Darkness revealed. Don't miss Jesus saying that he is the light of the world. Not just the light of Israel, not just the light of Judah, not just the light of certain nations at certain times. This is all encompassing. Jesus is the light of the world. That's why we have missions. The good news of Jesus is for every people group in the world. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. We'll see this afternoon, you have multiplied the nation. And so we have missions because the message is for the world. And we're given a glimpse of what heaven is like in Revelation 7 verse 9, where we read, a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Isn't that wonderful? From every tongue, tribe, and nation. Although accurate figures are difficult to produce, it's thought that there are over 17,300 unique people groups in the world. At the 1982 Lausanne Committee, a people group was defined for evangelization purposes as this: a people group is the largest group within which the gospel can spread as a church planting movement without encountering barriers of understanding or acceptance. Jesus came for the world. He came for every people group, for every language. And in Matthew 24:14, when he's speaking about his return, he says this: this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations or all people groups, and then the end will come. It is estimated that there are currently 7,391 of those people groups who are unreached with the gospel. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Jesus is the light of truth that dispels the darkness of falsehood. He is the light of wisdom that dispels the darkness of ignorance. Jesus is the light of holiness that dispels the darkness of impurity. He is the light of joy that dispels the darkness of sorrow. And Jesus Christ is the light of life that dispels the darkness of death. That's why King David can write in Psalm 27, verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And what Jesus declares in John 8:12 about being the light of the world is the fulfillment of that prophetic voice 700 years earlier in Isaiah chapter 9. Here Isaiah anticipates the most remarkable intervention in the whole of history. What comes dispels the darkness of this sinful world in which we live, and it shines into the darkest places. One of my lasting memories is visiting an orphanage in southern Malawi, where we were also going to speak at a conference for pastors and wives. First, we were given the tour of the orphanage by the head of the place, and we went round and saw all that we needed to see, and then came the climax of our tour. They had just had their first electric light installed. Mind you, it was just the one. Our proud guide wanted us to show us how it worked, and what joy on his face as he demonstrated to us how to work a light switch. You know, on, off, if you didn't know, on, off. We didn't let on, of course, that we already knew how to switch a light on, but it was such a joy to see the joy on his face. Light is to bring joy. Light is good. Light overcomes the darkness, and it shows the way. That might seem a little bit confusing, reading our verse that's written 700 years before the coming of Jesus, but reading it in the past tense. What I mean is this: the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. It appears to be referring to something that's already happened, doesn't it? However, in reality, it's pointing forward. And this is a literary device that's used in different parts of Scripture, because it describes future events that are so certain to happen, so fixed because God has said, that they are referred to in the past tense. It's done. This is already, it's as if it's already happened. That's how confident it is. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. It's done. And so we rejoice in the wonder of that. And here in our text, we see a great light. Now that's clearly a reference to Jesus, based on his self-declaration that we saw in John 8. But notice also in this verse that we have a deep darkness. What does it mean to walk in darkness? It is to live without Christ. It is to live without reference to God in his world, the world that he has made and that belongs to him. The problem comes when people actually prefer to walk in darkness. Why is that? Jesus gives us the answer in John 3, verse 19. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. Can you see that? See how deeds of evil are associated with the darkness. When we do something wrong, we don't want to do it in the light because people will see it. We don't want it revealed, because it would reveal what we are like. It would reveal our sin. So we stay in the shadows. We stay in the darkness. Darkness conceals. Light reveals things as they really are. We instinctively know this to be true. Just as we know that light is safety and dark is danger. And so, firstly, we see darkness revealed. But secondly, we see darkness dispelled. I don't know whether you've noticed, but no one has to teach you to be afraid of the dark. Not that I watch such things, but I'm reliably informed that there are no scenes in horror movies that happen at noon. The fear is added to by the darkness. Mind you, there is something dark that happens at midday. Let me explain. One of the most astonishing verses in the Bible comes in the New Testament when Jesus is dying on the cross. In Mark 15, verse 33, we're told that when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. The sun no longer shines, the darkness is complete, and it must have been terrifying to those to have witnessed that. Bear in mind that the Jewish day begins at 6 a.m. So what we're talking about, the sixth hour, is the sun going out at midday, when the sun is supposed to be at its highest, at its hottest, and at its brightest. Darkness envelops the whole land. Imagine how cold it would suddenly become. You've seen an eclipse during the day. The sun goes dark, doesn't it? And it gets colder. Imagine what this must have been like. I can only imagine what fear that must have brought. So what's happening? Well, we're not looking at some scientific theory to explain what it is. There's only one explanation for what is happening here. And it's that God is working, acting supernaturally. The message is clear. God is angry with sin. Darkness is a symbol of divine wrath. It symbolizes God's judgment on the sin of the world. And so God is unleashing his wrath and judgment, and it's all laid on his beloved eternal Son Jesus. That's what darkness means. And he went through that for me and for you. He bore my sin so that I can be saved from its consequences, so that I might live eternally. We sing, don't we? Though we were undeserving, Christ died to wash us clean. He bore the Father's anger while nailed upon the tree. In darkness and in turmoil, the judgment fell on him, bringing us forgiveness, that new life might begin. We must come to Christ. We must acknowledge that we are sinners and that we need to be saved. Confessing our sin and turning from it to Jesus Christ. As we do that, we receive forgiveness and we begin new life. That's everlasting life. Have you experienced that? Have you come before Holy God and appealed to His love and His grace to know that that Jesus died for you? You saw that forgiveness, that new life, saving Him as your personal Savior. You can do that. You can do that now. It's into the darkness of this sinful world that the light of Jesus shines. And you know, it's still the greatest news you're ever going to hear. That into the darkness of sin and rebellion against God, with all of its consequences, a light shines. No wonder Isaiah describes it here as a great light. It's a great darkness. It needs a great light. So how will the world be saved from its darkness? Notice in our text that those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. It doesn't say that out of the world a light has come. No, it has come from outside of this world. Jesus has brought the light. He is that light. Down from His glory, God became flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. From the heights of glory to a humble birth, the Lord of heaven came down to earth, and the greatest story that is known to man in a stable room began. God became flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. And when we read that the light has shone, or in some translations it says the light has dawned, Isaiah is using the sun as a symbol. The sun gives life. You know, if the sun were to go out, we'd freeze and die. The sun gives life. The light reveals the truth. The sun reveals the truth, doesn't it? It shows up things for what they are, things that we can't see in the darkness. The light reveals. So with the sun. One other thing, the sun shows beauty. Doesn't the sunlight on water or on the red and brown autumn leaves or on a flower reveal beauty? When the light of Jesus comes on us, then there is beauty. The beauty of a saved soul. Man made in the image of his Creator, being born again by the Spirit of God. Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, festive oil instead of mourning, and splendid clothes instead of despair. And then they will be called righteous trees planted by the Lord to glorify Him. Speaking about Jesus. How about that? To give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. There is a darkness that envelops our hearts until the light shines in. God is the God of light. In Genesis 1, verses 3 and 4, we see what was created first in this stunning universe in which we live. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Then turn to the New Testament and 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, where we read this: "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Wow. To know the light of Christ in our lives, the knowledge of the glory of the Godhead. That's Christmas. That's what God intended for us when he loved the world so much that he gave his son. God has revealed himself through the coming of his son into the world. But how do we come out of the darkness into the light? Well, the Apostle Paul, writing in Colossians 1 verse 13, says this: "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." That's how we go from light, from darkness to light. Those well-known words, "Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." And we are to carry the torch of that light as we share Jesus with others. We are to live as children of light so that people will give glory to God. Ephesians 5 verse 8, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth." That's quite something, isn't it? The light has shone on us. We know that light. The light is within us. Now we are to shine that light in the way that we live, in goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's what walking as children of light is. Are we walking in the light? Are we walking as children of light? Oh, how much we need to be praying for those who have not seen that light. Sometimes it's used jokingly, isn't it? "Oh, he's seen the light." It's always mocking, isn't it? But it's true, isn't it? When we see the light of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ, when it comes to that point where we know that he died for us and we come in faith, we come in repentance to him, and we know that new life again, we know what it means to be a child of God. We're going to see a bit more of that this afternoon. But also, once we have seen that light, we are to be that light. Remember that Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." May we be lights in this dark world. May we bring glory to him. And may each of us, as we go out this morning, know that that light has shone in our hearts, that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, that he came for us. What a gift we are given. Sacrifice of the Father for us. What a gift we are given. King of Lords, Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus. Darkness revealed, and then darkness dispelled. Let's pray. Gracious God, would you work and speak your word into our hearts this morning? We pray that we won't leave without knowing that we are children of the light, because that light of the gospel has shone in us, that we have come out of the darkness of sin into the glorious light of the kingdom of Jesus. And Lord, help us as kingdom people to shine that light in the world today. It so needs it. The light of the gospel through what we say, but also how we live. We want to thank you, Father, that you loved us so much. We want to give glory to you. Speak your truth to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.